of mission programs. We have worked with the Koreans, with the Chinese, with all nationalities, and we have salaries to pay and missionaries to keep. And so we hope that you will use the Week of Prayer envelopes that are in the bulletin today. If you do not get one and you need one, we'll be happy to supply you with one. This is a very important work, and we're the ones that carried on. Our churches, our 60 churches or so in the Norfolk Baptist Association. We will also have a youth ministry going on at the beach this summer. And we have the BSU teams that work. So there are a variety and a multitude of things that are carried on through associational missions. So we want you to be aware of this, and we hope that you will take advantage of the opportunity to share. Just a small gift will help go a great ways. So, and I hope that you will be aware of this. We had some folders on the new network, the dawn of a new network, which is being promoted by our Southern Baptist Convention. We have some of these folders in the foyer, and you may pick one up if you did not when you came in, and read about what's being done in the realm of television and radio. This is a great field. And so this is going to be something about cable TV. So you'll want to get this, find out about it. Now we have another important announcement and a matter of information that we would like to present to you through our pulpit committee, which has been working, praying, and getting things in order to fulfill their mission. And Brother Bill Overton has been assigned today to come and share with us this portion of the survey.
Thank you, preacher. I cannot overemphasize to each of you this morning the how vitally important it is to have your participation in the process of a pastor search committee or a pulpit committee. And that is, this is the first step, if you will, in encouraging the membership of our church to assist us in this very great responsibility. As each of you is aware, the committee was elected by the church several weeks ago, and since that time, as the pastor has indicated, we have been working in preparation, by and large, to date, to enable ourselves, if you will, through the reading of material and study, to assist us in order that we might do the kind of job that God would expect from a committee of this nature. We have been following material that was provided. It's entitled the Pastor Search Committee Primers, much like a study course. And indeed, if there's one thing that it has done, it has made each of the members of the committee keenly aware of the great responsibility that we have in performing this task. Before we get started, I wanted to ask those of you who are here, first of all, if everyone received this form as they came in, and secondly, if each person has a pencil they can use to complete the form. If you do not have either of those, if you would raise your hand now, and we can provide you with the material so that we'll be ready when the time comes to complete the form. Anyone, would you raise your hand if you do not have the form or a pencil? One right over here. I might add, while we're getting the material out, that this is but one form that we will be using. There are two or three others that we will also be using to assist us in this responsibility. One of the other forms is a reference form, which we will use to complete for prospects that either we will generate, or there may be individuals that you would like to present to the committee for the their consideration. And if that is the case, then we would be more than happy at some later date to provide you with the form to be completed for that purpose. As you review the form entitled "What Do I Expect of My Pastor," you'll recognize, hopefully you realize, that it's the same form that was in our messenger this week. We apologize for the fact that the printing was so small that possibly some of you had problems reading that, but the purpose of that was to give you a preview of the kind of information that we're seeking in order to better able you to complete this form in a very few moments this morning. Now, we recognize that the printing was small, and we apologize for that, but about the best we could do. We're going to ask you to follow along as I read the questions. You check the columns, which are entitled "strongly agree," "agree," "not sure," "disagree," or "strongly disagree." And at the conclusion, we will request that you pass them to the center aisles, and then the ushers will come and gather them. Pass them to the center aisles. On the side classrooms, they'll pass them to the center aisle. Over on this side, they'll pass the center aisle, and this aisle will pass to the center. Likewise here, and on this side, and then someone will be in the balcony to collect them. There may be some questions that have obvious answers to you, but I want to emphasize the fact that this is a composite picture. There are 20 questions, I believe. Each one is important, and we will use the entire 20 to assist us in performing this opportunity, shall we say. You follow along as I read, and please complete the questions. Proclamation ministry. I don't think it is necessary to give an invitation at the conclusion of each worship service. And you'll check one of the columns. I do want at least 50% of the sermons which my pastor preaches to be aimed specifically at providing Christian growth. I do not think it is important that my pastor spend at least 10 hours each week on sermon preparation. I do not see any connection between my pastor's personal visitation program and the kinds of sermons he preaches. Second section, fellowship ministry. I see a very valid use of the worship service as a means of increasing fellowship within the congregation. I do not think my pastor need be capable of relating in a personal way with all age groups in the church. I believe my pastor should use the present fellowship strengths of the church to emphasize outreach possibilities. I do not think it matters whether my pastor understands how the educational programs of the church can be used as instruments of fellowship. Section 3, leadership ministry. I expect my pastor to be able to give guidance to staff personnel in such a manner as to ensure harmonious programs in the church. I believe there is little value in the pastor having a close relationship with the deacon body as a whole. I am convinced that my pastor must work closely with the organizational leaders in order to experience church growth. I want my pastor to engage in continuing education opportunities so he can continue to develop his leadership skills. Fourth section, helping ministry. I do not think it is necessary for my pastor to give a large portion of his time for hospital and shut-in visitation. I would agree that troubled people can dominate my pastor's time unless he places limitations on himself. I would prefer that my pastor learn what community helps are available for people and make use of them when this would not conflict with Christian convictions. I believe it is a waste of time for my pastor to work to develop the laity to become ministers to one another. Finally, organizational ministry. I believe the Sunday school is the church growth arm of the church, and my pastor should give it his strong support. I see the music program of the church as being a ministry in which my pastor should not interfere. I would like for my pastor to leave the mission opportunities of the church primarily to the women. I think giving guidance to developing training opportunities for all church members would be too frustrating to be worth my pastor's time. Now, would you please pass the forms to the center aisles, and I'll ask the ushers if they will come forward and collect them. Let me say in closing that the committee has met several times last weekend. As a matter of fact, we met Friday night and most of Saturday. And we know that each of the members of our church has been praying for us as we seek to do God's will in this matter. Each one has been much in prayer over our responsibility, and we would covet your continued prayers in the weeks to come as we seek to get, if you will, God's leading in the matter of the right individual who will assume the mantle of leadership in the South Norfolk Baptist Church. If there are suggestions that any one of our members would have, then we'd be more than happy to hear those. And we will provide you with updates as we move forward from time to time in order to keep you informed as to what we're doing and where we are, and to collectively seek to do the very best that we can.
Thank you, Bill. It's a good thing you didn't have any time element on there, because I remember a survey some years ago they took, and some woman filled out the thing. You know, so much time counseling, so much time getting the sermon, so much time visiting, so much time. And you know how many hours she came up with for the preacher? 250 hours a week. Wonderful. We do work long hours, but we enjoy it. Number 67. Let's stand and sing. Father, we thank Thee for this day, and we thank Thee for the presence of Thy Spirit. And we pray that all that we're doing shall be to Thine honor and Thy glory. Continue Thy blessings upon our committee and upon all that we shall undertake in the future in relationship to this. And now bless us today as we gather in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now we want to turn to responsive reading 562. 562 in the back of your hymnal. On the Word of God. 562. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly finished, unto all good works. The word Lord is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. The entrance of thy word giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Following the reading of his word, we have a time of meditation and prayer. There are a number of things we need to pray for. And perhaps you know of some individual matters. Now is your opportunity. Shall we bow and shall we pray? We do thank thee, our Father, for the multitude of thy tender mercies. We are so gratefully respondent to the way in which you have led us in past days. We know that you have watched over our lives, and sometimes, our Father, we have a feeling or a sense, well, we just can't trust thee any longer. And yet we know within our hearts there is a depth of faith that tells us that wherever God is, there is hope. And so we would trust thee even with the dark moments and with the situations, our Father, through which we pass. And these times which seem almost impossible with us, knowing that God has a rainbow somewhere that will ultimately shine. So we bring to thee the various needs of our hearts today, of this congregation. Some have grief, some sorrow, some have troubles, some have had difficulties with finances. Some, Heavenly Father, have had deep and trying experiences with their health and with physical needs. We pray for all of these, and we pray thy blessings upon them. And now, Heavenly Father, we would not forget our missionaries and the mission cause around the world. Especially this week, we're thinking about those at home. We pray for the gratitude of our hearts to be such that we shall give of our possessions to make these effective efforts. Now, Father, guide us, we pray, in our work and in our witness, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We want to turn our hymn to 352, I am thine, O Lord. 352.